Hey everyone, welcome back to the Retro Break podcast. And I joined this podcast at a very strange time because I thought I'd just completely broken my camera. It had got stuck in a loop and it kept coming up with system error. So after about a good hour or so of messing around and trying to get to all the right settings, thank God I fixed it, because tomorrow I'm off to EGX and I was really looking forward to taking the camera with me. So I'm so happy that I can actually do that. And that brings me on to the first point in this podcast, which is all about gaming events, because they are back. I went to Insomnia a few weeks ago, and hopefully you guys have seen the video up on my main channel. But if you haven't, definitely go and check it out, because I had a fantastic time there. And that video didn't get as many views as I was hoping it would, and it's pretty much died. So any support for that video would be greatly appreciated, because I really enjoyed making it. The event itself was fantastic, even though it was in the middle of a heatwave and it was incredibly hot. And I'll always remember the hotel room not having any air conditioning. It was absolutely horrible to try and stay there overnight. We managed to get a fan on the second day. But anyway, that's beside the point. The event itself was fantastic, and I can't wait to go again next year. And tomorrow, like I said, I'm off to EGX up in London just for one day. I've got a content creator's pass, so that'll be really interesting. I'll get to go around with my camera. I haven't decided yet whether I'm going to actually do a video of the event or not, but by the time that you listen to this, I will have been back from the event anyway. So hopefully I'll at least find something interesting to talk about over on the main channel, even if that is just buying some games from the game stalls, which I hope there are some. But apart from that, I'm just looking forward to meeting people and just checking out all the new indie games and having a play of Sonic and Mario before they both officially come out, even though I've got both pre-ordered. And I'm pretty sure that Sonic Superstars, for anyone who's listening in the future and didn't know what the latest Sonic game is. But I've got that actually turning up in the post tomorrow while I'm at EGX going to the Sega booth to play it. So I may as well have just stayed at home. But no, I'm very much looking forward to it. And then the week after, obviously, I'm very much looking forward to Mario Wonder, which looks like it plays so well. So I'm super looking forward to that. And I'm going to try and stream both of them. I might do it as well as my regular streams, because I do really still want to keep playing Pikmin 2. I've been really enjoying that. I've been really enjoying the entire Pikmin series this year, to be honest. I played all the way through Pikmin 4. I 100% completed it now. It took me 50 hours. It was a lot longer than I expected it to be, but I did get there in the end. And then I went back and played Pikmin 1 on stream. When I picked it up on the Switch, I got the physical version through the post the other day, and I played all the way through that, and I actually did incredibly well. Usually I manage to get to the end with about 3 or 4 days to spare, but this time I managed to get all the way to the end of the game with like 13 days left or something, which is just unheard of. I don't know whether it was the extra focus that streaming gave me, but something just clicked in my brain and I was able to just whiz through that game no problem whatsoever. So yeah, been absolutely loving the Pikmin series, and I'll definitely be picking up Pikmin 3 Deluxe for the Switch when I've finished number 2, because I only ever played that when it was brand new on the Wii U. I obviously got it on day one because I'm a massive fan, and I actually did a video about it about 10 years ago as well when that came out. So I'm very much looking forward to replaying Pikmin 3 after I've finished Pikmin 2, and then maybe I'll even go back and play Hey Pikmin again, because I didn't really mind that one. And talking about Pikmin, I found a great video the other day, and this is kind of a topic that I want to try and incorporate in the podcasts more in the future, and that is basically videos that I've watched recently that I really enjoyed and I think you guys and girls should check out. So check the links in the description to this podcast so that you can actually go and check out all of these different videos and whatever else I've been reading or enjoying content wise. So anyway, the Pikmin video in question, I guess there was two actually, but the main one was a video about the entire Pikmin series by a YouTuber called Liz the Lass, who I'd never actually heard of before, but I was just looking for more Pikmin content to fill my Pikmin craze that I'm on at the minute. So I really enjoyed her video. I thought it was fantastic. She basically goes through all 5 games, I guess, including the 3DS one, and basically just shares her journey through the games. Not really talking about just the technical details or anything, but actually sharing the story of how she managed to get through all of the games and what she thought of all of them. And it kind of got me thinking how I can incorporate something like that into Retro Break Replay as well, because I've only done 2 videos so far, and while I enjoyed making the first one, the Diddy Kong Racing video, the second one, the Sonic Adventure one, I wasn't so keen on, and it seems like the viewers weren't either. It's only just managed to pass 1,000 views all these, like, a month later at this point. So I might try and change up how I do those videos and turn them into more sort of stories of my journey through the game, rather than just this is what the game's about and this is why you should play it. So maybe expect a slightly different take on the replay formula in the future. But yeah, really enjoyed that Pikmin video. Definitely check out Liz the Lass if you want really nice gaming videos in general. A lot of Stardew Valley and a lot of sort of cozy games like that. I saw there was one for Fae Farm recently. I have to be honest, I haven't watched any of her other stuff, but the Pikmin one was great and I hit the subscribe button and I really enjoyed that. In terms of other YouTubers that I've been enjoying recently, Happy Console Gamer is always one that I always go back to. I watched his first thoughts on EES10 Nordics the other day, and that game looks fantastic. I'm a big fan of the EES series, even though I never actually played EES9, so I really want to try and go back and play that one first. I'm trying to contemplate whether I should get it on the Switch, or whether I should get it on the PlayStation, or whether I should get it now on the ROG Ally, which is something else that I can touch on in this podcast, actually. So, but before that, I've got one more video written down here that I enjoyed recently, and that was from Virtual TV. And for those of you who don't know, he is a big YouTuber in the Trackmania space, and I'm a massive fan of the Trackmania games. I don't play it as much as I would like to, because they can get very addicting, and I'm really glad that I actually put the time into playing through all of the autumn or fall courses, and I managed to get gold medals in all the tracks. But the video of his that I enjoyed watching recently was about a track that he made called Midori, and the title of the track is The Most Controversial Trackmania Map. And the reason that it was so controversial is that he built the track using the bobsleigh parts, and there's a very intricate steering method to get extra speed on those levels. And he used something where you can sort of map custom keyboard buttons to macros to sort of emulate different angles that the car's moving. And depending on the angle and where you are on the ramp, you'll end up going a bit faster. And then you can obviously carry that speed on through the rest of the course and get an incredible time. But a lot of people pushed back on that and said that it wasn't fair on people who either couldn't program the custom buttons or were just using a regular controller or couldn't afford one of the special controllers that lets you set these custom actions. So Ubisoft and Nadeo, the developer of Trackmania, actually changed the way the game runs and changed all the physics, and it basically broke that map and all the other maps that rely on these keyboard shortcuts. So it was a really interesting video, and it's interesting to see how the deeper community takes to these changes, because I'm very much a surface level member of the Trackmania community. Like, I haven't even paid for club membership again because I was just enjoying the free tracks. And I did see that they've changed club membership to limit the amount of free tracks now before you have to pay for it. So I can see why that's good from a business point of view, because I've been playing it all year and I haven't paid a penny. So sorry, Hillis. I know he follows me on Twitter, and I will definitely pay for it soon once you make that change. So there we go. That is my thoughts on the Trackmania situation. And yeah, I've been playing Trackmania on the ROG Ally, which is something else that I wanted to bring up in this podcast. So for those of you that don't know, the ROG Ally is basically a handheld gaming PC. And the reason that I got this handheld gaming PC is kind of a strange reason. So basically, at work, I do have a day job on top of all this content, unfortunately. Maybe one day that will change. Fingers crossed. But anyway, at work, they rolled out this new incentive scheme. So basically, you can buy things on the UK website Currys, and it actually takes it out of your salary, and it also takes the tax off the purchase as well. So I got the top spec ROG Ally, and I managed to save about 120 quid on it, which is great, and I've been really enjoying it so far. It is very cumbersome. It is very cumbersome to actually use a Windows-based handheld, because using Windows on a touchscreen that's like 7 inches big really isn't ideal, and the amount of updates that I had to do to get it running smoothly and the amount of optimization that I've needed to do for each different thing that I wanted to get running was an absolute nightmare. But I finally figured it out, and I do enjoy tinkering, so it wasn't such a big deal. But either way, I managed to figure it out, and I've been really enjoying playing some games on there, and I've actually got it plugged in right at my bedside table, so it's kind of in a place that I won't always reach for, so that I'm kind of forcing myself to use it, else I know it would just sit on the shelf like all of the other handheld consoles that I've had over the years. So I'm really trying to make an effort to actually use it to its fullest potential. And of course, I travel around the country a lot for all these shows that my girlfriend sells her artwork at, so I was thinking that I could also take it on all those shows with me. And the great thing about it being Windows-based is the fact that I could actually use OBS on the handheld itself, or the Windows built-in capture software, to actually record games, to go back into making my own content, which currently isn't working exactly how I would like it to, because some full-screen applications don't allow me to go back and open up OBS once they're open, which is kind of weird, so I need to find a way around that. But once I get it working, I think having the ROG Ally will really benefit the channel. Or maybe I'm just saying that to myself to make this spur of the moment purchase seem a little bit more reasonable. But either way, I'm really enjoying it. And another game that I've been playing on there, and it's definitely not pushing the system to its limits at all, but I've been really enjoying Finding Paradise. And for those of you that don't know, Finding Paradise is the sequel to an incredible RPG Maker game from the early 2010s called To the Moon, made by Kan Gao. And I absolutely loved To the Moon. It was my favorite game for the longest time. That game single-handedly pretty much set up all my plans for my final year project, which was all around narrative-driven story games in a 2D environment. And To the Moon was literally the reason that I made that. And To the Moon is kind of literally the reason why I passed my uni course in the first place, and why I managed to get a graduate job after uni, which then led on to this IT job that I've got today, which pays really well and has allowed me to buy all the games to feed into my YouTube channel to help grow that. So honestly, everything that I've achieved over the last 10 years could pretty much be linked back to Kan Gao's To the Moon. So I thought it was finally the right time to play Finding Paradise, and I'm about 4 hours in, and I am just in love with it. It is everything I wanted from a sequel. I'm getting a bit teary just thinking about it, honestly. The attention to detail, the music, the just incredible piano and string music in the background is just absolutely unbelievable. And of course, Laura Shigihara's ending theme song as well. I've already listened to it many times, and I can't wait to hear it in the game itself. And I'm going to have to try and hold myself together and not break down in tears like I did at the end of To the Moon. But either way, Finding Paradise 100% gets my absolute highest recommendation. And what else can I talk about? Let's talk a bit about, because I know I haven't done a podcast in a while, so I want to try and make this one a nice beefy podcast for everyone who's listening. So first of all, thank you for tuning in. I know I'm not doing the best at maintaining a good schedule with these podcasts, but I'll try and get back into the flow at some point in the future. I want to try and do one a month, at least, at minimum one a month. But honestly, I would like to try and do one once a week and try and tie it in with everything else that I'm working on. Anyway, there's two big projects that I'm working on at the minute. The first one, and I announced this the other day on Twitter and YouTube in the community posts, and people got really excited about the idea, so that really fueled my excitement to keep this up, and that is the fact that I've actually started writing a book, and I'm about 10,000 words in now, and I've kind of spaced it all out with all the different chapters and things. It's basically going to be, I don't know, I don't want to say a deep dive, but I also don't want to say a high-level overview, but it's basically a book about celebrating gaming history, which is kind of my new slogan for Retro Break as a whole. So I thought a great first project would be to try and tie in everything that I love about the history of games and share it with the world in a written form. And maybe do videos based on the different chapters in the future, but primarily this is going to be a book that's going to be out on Kindle, and I would love to try and get it published in paperback and hardback as well. I think that would just be incredible, and it's something that I'm really excited about. So I've been trying to at least write something for the book, like at least one paragraph or two every day since I announced that, and I am making good progress. Like I said, I've kind of mapped out the entire thing. In fact, if you want a sneak peek, as a kind of thank you for getting this far into the podcast, I'll open up my mind map here, and we can actually have a quick look through some of the different chapters in the book. So here's a really cool sneak peek for everyone. So it's going to start, obviously, with a preface and with my credentials and why I came up with the idea of the book and then the contents. And then the first main part of the book is going to be Why Gaming History Matters. And I've split that topic down into five different headings, I guess. That's how I've arranged it so far in Pages anyway. So it's going to start with nostalgia, and I'll talk about my history with games and some of my early gaming memories, and then I'm also going to open it up to the community as well. So a few years ago, I did a video series called Why We Love Retro Games, and I'm planning to do a follow-up to that called Our Formative Gaming Memories, or Our Formative Gaming Experiences. So I want to go out to some people that I admire in the retro gaming and gaming history community and get them to send in video responses about, you know, what were the first games that they played and what really got them into this hobby. So what I'm going to try and do with that is then try and transcribe some of the best ones and then turn it into a chapter in the book. So basically take an amalgamation of everything that everyone told me and then share that with the world. So, like, why are we into games in the first place? What games sparked our nostalgia? And, you know, why do we love retro games in general? And then, oh my god, I may as well just keep saying the entire book at this rate. I'll try and skim over some of the rest of it so you at least have some surprises. The second part in Why Gaming History Matters is knowledge for developers. So we're going to go into things like genre origins, game engines, in sort of a brief overview, design philosophies, things like that. And then context for the evolution of the medium is really interesting. I think it's a really interesting topic. So things like how online gaming came to be, things like how the bit wars were in the 90s and console wars and things like that. And, you know, what's came from that, and also companies learning from their mistakes as well. Like, obviously, Apple, surprisingly, is a big player in the gaming business these days, but they did attempt gaming in the 90s, and obviously it failed very badly, but they did learn from their mistakes, or at least I presume they did. So that is something else that I want to talk about in the book, and I'm just going to whiz through the rest because I'm getting very carried away about this, and obviously there's still a lot for me to try and organize in my head, and maybe things will change, but for now let's move on. I also want to touch on the different types of games. So PC games, console games, handheld games, mobile games, arcade games. And then something that I was thinking about on the train actually is sort of interesting places where you wouldn't really expect games. So, like, is there a random gaming touchscreen thing in McDonald's, for example? That was something that came to mind. But there's all sorts of other little weird quirky games that appear in random places. And then, so that's sort of the opening to the book, is just sort of an overview of why it matters and sort of where we are today. And then I'm going to take a deep dive into early gaming history, so where the first video games came from, and even before that, where the first electronic games from, and even the first analog games. So really celebrating the roots of gaming in general. And then we're going to take an overview into worldwide gaming history. So I've broken it down into Asia, Europe, and America, and I'm going to focus on a few key different areas from each of those regions in the world and find out some of their history with games, because there's a lot more out there than just Japan and America, really. So I want to try and at least touch on some of that. And then there was a bit here, but I'm not sure whether I actually want to spin this off into a different book, but I did want to touch on game development and sort of the history of game developers from an indie gamer's point of view, from an indie game developer's point of view, as well as from a corporate point of view as well. So that'll be really interesting. And of course, knowing me, I also want to touch on the homebrew side of things as well. A bit about game collecting. I would love to try and cover some of that as well. I haven't quite decided what I'm going to do in that space just yet. And then the book is actually going to end with a look at how all of this history ties into the future. So I've got a section called Evolving Pillars. So basically when I talked about PC, console, arcade, mobile, whatever, I'm kind of calling them the five pillars of gaming. So I'm going to talk about how they're going to evolve in the future, looking at some key trends and sort of extrapolating out 10 or 20 years into the future. And then, of course, I'm going to also look into some of the future advances in technology and how they could tie into games as well. So things like AI, things like VR, AR, cloud gaming, all sorts of things like that. And then I'm just going to wrap it up with a nice little conclusion. So that is a lot. I don't really know yet how I'm going to manage to format all of that into one book and make it make sense and make it enjoyable to read, but that's my goal. So hope you enjoyed listening to that, and hopefully you can hear the enthusiasm in my voice as I'm mentioning this. And in terms of videos, because obviously Retro Break YouTube is still my main key focus, the next big video I want to do is the top Game Boy Color games video, because my top Game Boy original games video is doing incredibly well. It's already passed 100,000 views, which is incredible, and it's still going. So obviously I want to follow that up. But because I'm me, I want to have physical versions of all the games that I want to show in that video. So although I've already made my list, there's about 5 or 6 games that I don't actually own yet. And I really need to rectify that. But some of them are very expensive. Like there's one game on my list that's like £300. Can I justify that? Yeah, sure I can. So I just need to save up a bit and then I'm going to buy the games for the Game Boy Color video. And then that will come out and hopefully propel my channel even further. And of course, gaming history is another topic that I really enjoy covering. I just released my Gunpei Yokoi video today, in fact, at the time of recording, and that seems to be doing well so far, so I would love to make more videos in that sort of documentary style. And even if they are just like 7 or 8 minutes long, it may seem like a short video, but it takes me a lot of time and effort to actually put them together in the background, so I do hope people enjoy those history videos. And I'm also working on a bigger history video, well, 2 actually. I'm working on a big history video for the original Game Boy, which I'm sure will do incredibly well, and I'm also working on one for the DS, because I just think it's a really interesting story. So I think I'll leave the podcast there for today. Thank you so much for listening. It's great to be back. And like I said, I'm going to try and find a way of making this more regular. But in the meantime, if you check out retrobreak.co.uk, you can find all the other stuff that I'm working on at the minute. And I'm trying to work on the website as well to try and make it more enjoyable to visit, even if you are just browsing around at all the stuff that I've got going on. So thanks for listening. Really hope you enjoyed it. Let me know as well over on Discord. Obviously, there'll be a link on the website, I think. If so, go and find that and join the Discord. And let me know in the podcast tab over there what you think of this podcast, what you'd like to see from the podcast in the future, and any ideas how you think I could make this more regular without it taking up too much of my mental state, because I don't want to take it away from either the main channel or the streams, which are both doing really well at the minute. So I want to try and find a way of making this podcast expand those two rather than taking time away from them. So any ideas, let me know over on Discord, but that's it for now. Thank you so much for listening, and hopefully I'll be back before another month's time. Goodbye.